Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the rise of Herman Cain, who is leading the pack of Republican presidential candidates in spite of charges of sexual harassment that resulted in 2 5-figure settlements paid to the women involved. Herman Cain spoke at the National Press Club where he denied the charges and offered the Clarence Thomas defense that the liberal press is out to lynch him. Jacob Halbrun, a senior editor at the National Interest, joins us to discuss how such bad performance art could dominate the presidential stage, as the bizarre antics of Herman Cain seem to suggest he is not a serious candidate, yet more and more Republican voters appear to be taking him seriously. Then we will discuss the UN vote to admit Palestine into UNESCO, which was greeted by the US cutting funds to the UN agency best known for protecting World Heritage Sites. A former Palestinian negotiator, Laila Halal, joins us to assess the future of Palestinian statehood that will be voted on next month in the United Nations Security Council, leading to a likely veto of Palestinian statehood by the United States. Then finally, as the 7th billion person enters the world today, we will analyze the impact on the planet of population growth that, since the 1st billion was reached in 1804 and the 2nd billion in 1927, has rapidly grown exponentially in the last few decades. John Bongartz, the chairman of the Panel on Population Projections at the National Academy of Sciences, joins us. But joining us now is Jacob Halbrun, who is a senior editor at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. Previously, he was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times, a senior editor at the New Republic, and a Japan Society fellow. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jacob Halbrun.
Thanks, Ian.
And how do you explain this disconnect between what appears not to be a serious candidacy, if you base that upon the organization, the campaign commercials, of Herman Cain, yet in spite of, we'll see what happens with these sexual harassment charges. However, he is apparently ahead in a lot of polls with Republican voters.
Well, Americans have always had an affection for the anti-politician, the outsider. The Jimmy Carter won the Democratic primary by saying that he'd never been to Washington. And Herman Cain, in some way, seems to be the Republican equivalent. He's not tainted by any political service. He is, in fact, the anti-Romney. And what I found so striking about the Western advertisement that we talked about earlier today, Ian, is that it's targeted explicitly at Obama, but in many ways the message is against Romney. You have cowboys swilling whiskey. Well, Mormons aren't supposed to drink alcohol. In another commercial, you have his campaign head, Mark Block, taking a puff on a cigarette and blowing smoke towards the camera. Again, it's all targeted, I think, against Romney. The idea that Cain is tough, an individual, he doesn't read canned lines from a teleprompter. I think those are the messages that he's trying to get across. And as you know, the Republican base regards Romney with revulsion.
Well, perhaps I'm guilty of being a member of the liberal elite then, because I get what you're saying, Jacob Halbrun, but the quality of the film that he made seems to be sort of like some wannabe filmmaker exercising some peculiar fantasy, and the campaign ad with his campaign manager smoking cigarettes is just plain bizarre. I understand they're operating on a shoestring, but they're ahead in the polls. So
yeah, let me put it to you this way: the one where he's smoking, mm-hmm. That's the most anti-PC thing you could do.
That's true, and it's got some fairly, you know, people like Bob Schieffer and others on CBS News have taken him to task for it, you know.
Well, conservatives, one of the things that they defend is smoking. And, in fact, some of them used to argue that it wasn't even deleterious to your health. But, you know, if you go to a conservative function, there is sort of a nostalgia. You know, they like to smoke cigars, and I was at the CPAC, the Conservative Convention, a year earlier. They don't even offer you a choice. They just serve red meat.
Right. You know? And Rush Limbaugh chomps on cigars. I suppose I'm missing the point. And it's you're saying, Jacob Harbaugh, it's working with the base.
I think it's working brilliantly. Those went viral, Ian. There are over a million hits on YouTube already for the Western one. Look, everyone's talking about it, including us.
Well, but there's a theory that this guy is not a serious candidate in as much as he's a motivational speaker, and that this campaign is going to do nothing but raise his profile and raise his speaking fee.
I think that's absolutely true. But we've seen that before with media figures like Pat Buchanan, who cycle between being presidential candidates and landing media contracts. And I suppose Sarah Palin is the most prominent example. I think Herman Cain is trying to promote his book and his brand. And no, these advertisements are not conducive to winning the White House. But they certainly may help. They certainly draw attention to him and may perplex his Republican opponents about how to respond.
So, Jacob Harbaugh, tell me then what you think is the impact will be of these charges that were brought forth in an article in Politico on Sunday. On Monday, Herman Cain addressed the American Enterprise Institute to talk about his 999 flat tax proposal. The AEI forbid the press from asking questions. Obviously, people wanted to know, and there were no Q&A permitted to do follow-ups. He then spoke later in the day at the National Press Club, where he dismissed these charges out of hand. And then actually sang to the press. And then later, apparently tonight, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox News, Greta Van Susteren has given him a chance to restate his objections and denials. And apparently he's going to say, well, one of the women was a settlement was made, and she was out to make money for herself. So he's apparently reversing himself on the denial, but of course being given the safe platform of Fox News.
Well, one of the things that we have to remember is that he's not running in a general election; he's appealing to conservatives. And if Clarence Thomas could brazen it out, I suspect this may redound to Cain's benefit in the Republican primary. He already, his defenders such as Ann Coulter are saying, I believe, that he is being demonized by liberals because he strayed from their plantation, as they put it. So the Cain thing is a little volatile since family values is an issue in the GOP. But I suspect that he will be able to weather the storm, and he's also going to produce his wife, Gloria, soon for an exclusive interview, and I believe she'll appear at the rally where he officially announces his run for the presidency.
Well, Jacob Harbaugh, it surely worked for Arnold Schwarzenegger out here in California.
Yeah.
When he got sexual harassment charges leveled against him, he showed up on stage with a gaggle of Kennedy women.
Right. I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, overly cynical, but it's hard not to. And we don't actually know, of course, what happened in the Cain. What he's saying may or may not be true. We just don't know. But politically speaking, I think conservatives often have a martyr complex and feel persecuted by the media, what they see as a dominant liberal media establishment. So the accusations against Cain would certainly fit well into that narrative.
Well, he's of course, when people like Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh say that it's all about the liberal establishment trying to beat him down because he's an uppity black man and he's strayed from the plantation. Herman Cain himself says that that his rise in the polls is evidence once and for all that the Tea Party and conservative republicanism is officially not racist. What's interesting there is that he virtually has no support amongst African Americans. In other words, his support comes from white conservatives.
I wonder, too. I mean, there are several theories about that. One theory is that he served as a useful fig leaf for denying the racist charge. The other is I'm not wholly convinced how many of the primary voters actually are aware of his race. That would be an interesting question to pose for a pollster.
Well, surely they've got television sets. I mean, I don't follow.
Yeah, but most people don't follow this. You know, many. I don't know. I would just be curious how widespread the perception is actually in the GOP among the primary voters of about Cain's race, or whether they just sort of ignore it as an issue.
Well, I think what we're talking about, Jacob Halbron. Which makes headlines, and it's clearly all going to, you know, if he's out to raise his speaking fees and sell his books, then we're all doing him a service. But much of what he said in these presidential debates has been truly ignorant buffoonery and racist too. His casual racist remarks about Arab Americans and Muslims should have disqualified him. But in a curious way, I think that because he's African American, he's getting away with it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that may well be true. And he's reveled in his ignorance. He's made it a badge of authenticity. That the very fact, you know, he referred to the president of Becky, if you recall, flaunting the fact that he is ignorant of other countries. And I suppose that appeals to a strain in America that we're the greatest and we don't really need to bother about the rest of the world. We just go on in our own way. And that's sort of the theme of his Western commercial too. There was a time when a man was a man and a horse was a horse, and
never the twain shall meet. So tell me, how if Mitt Romney these charges were leveled against him, and if he denied it, and then it turned out that the organization that he was the head of paid five-figure settlements to two women. And then he had to reverse himself and say, well, yeah, but it really wasn't five figures. Wouldn't Romney be toast?
Yeah, I think it's probably true. Especially that he's off. I don't think Cain, I mean, there are a couple, obviously, Cain has also not made as a big deal about the social issues, or he's basically running on the economics. But yeah, Romney would be finished because I still don't think that anyone thinks that Cain is actually a credible candidate. I think it's a media circus at bottom.
Mm-hmm. So why would he be ahead in the polls, and why would Republican primary voters vote for somebody that wasn't taking the race seriously?
Because I suppose that they are so disaffected with the other candidates. I actually think you're giving the other candidates too much credit if you think they're all that different from Cain.
Their foreign policy is certainly no more sophisticated.
No, and I think Gingrich is a clown.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's actually a pretty lamentable field, and Romney stands for everything and nothing. Huntsman is the most reasonable of the bunch.
Right. Well, of course, the one candidate who is reasonable is getting nowhere, and that's Huntsman.
Yes, and he's the only one who doesn't believe in this imperial foreign policy that the neoconservatives espouse. He is actually being advised by Brent Scowcroft, who takes a more sober view of America's capabilities.
Right. The man that George W. Bush didn't listen to, and dragged the United States into a calamitous war.
And yes, and that war. But now the right is turning on Obama. There was a column by Max Boot in the Wall Street Journal today alleging that Obama is throwing away victory in Iraq.
Well, he, of course, he doesn't. Nobody ever challenges his columns particularly. The other side of that is that my understanding is that one of the reasons why Obama is pulling the troops out quickly is that there's a possibility of some kind of strike against Iran, and they don't want American troops held hostage. So Boot may end up, looking foolish on that one.
Well, the real question isn't why we're leaving, but why we ever went in.
Well, maybe Boot can explain that since he was such a cheerleader. I thank you for joining us, Jacob Harburn.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Jacob Harburn, who is a senior editor at the National Interest and the author of They Knew They Were Right, The Rise of the Neocons. Previously, he was an editorial writer for the Los Angeles Times, a senior editor at the New Republic, and a Japan Society fellow. Let's take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the UN vote to admit Palestine into UNESCO.